Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with John Arp. He is an operations manager for the Western Region of Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, and we're going to have a conversation today about reliability. So I'm very good that you're reliable, John, and you showed up on time to record the podcast. So first, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, John, before we get started, what exactly is an operations manager within Rappahannock Electric?
The operations manager is the manager that oversees the line construction, restoration, and design departments for the regional offices. The Western Region is the Culpeper office and the Blue Ridge office, which is the Front Royal and Eastern Winchester area here for Rappahannock.
So you're the guy when, not necessarily when power goes out, but you're the guy that we want to know to keep the power going. That's kind of why you're here to talk about reliability, is to tell us all of the ways and things that you guys do to keep the power on, more so than what to do when it goes out.
I make sure that our linemen and crews have what they need to go out and restore power. I try to make their job as safe and efficient as possible.
We had a conversation in a previous podcast with William Wilfong about his day in the life of being a lineman. And there were all kinds of things that I thought I knew that I had no idea once he got into the weeds and started telling us some of it. But he really enjoys his job. So you're doing a good job because he works for you because he's here in Warren County.
Yes, he is.
So I've got a ton of questions and a lot of reliability questions, I would imagine, from a power perspective, people think about because of weather. So let's start with that. We've had a lot of storms in the past year. We've had a lot of storms in the past several years. And I know that pattern probably isn't going to change from what I'm reading, you know, with climate change and the storms and just what we've seen sitting in the last couple of weeks going across the country. So how does weather actually affect the reliability of electric service?
Well, weather probably has one of the largest impacts to reliability. I know, being in the utility industry for a number of years, it seems like we're all amateur weather persons. If you want to know what the weather is going to be for the next week or so, ask a utility worker, because all of us keep our eye on what's coming in. And for good reason, because the weather does have significant impact. 2018, I don't have to tell our membership that 2018 was a very challenging year. In general, weather causes most of our outages. And different weather types have different impacts. You have the heavy wet snows that cause the leaning branches, sagging trees, and they will come down in and hit the line, possibly break the wire, break poles, things of that nature. You've got your ice storms, which are a grade worse than your wet snows. We had a couple of those last year that were quite devastating. The ice breaks the trees, breaks the limbs. And if it gets bad enough, though, we do design our system to try to survive a certain level of ice and wind, the ice can, if it gets bad enough, take down our wire. There was actually some images that came from a neighboring utility during Ice Storm Avery with a small piece of wire about the size of a pencil that had ice built up the size of a 20-ounce water bottle.
Wow.
And the wire was still in the air, so the system can withstand a lot. It's the trees and things off the right-of-way that are falling, typically causing the outages.
That's one of the things that I would always think of. I mean, I would think of the trees leaning over and mm-hmm. you know, they're not as sturdy a lot of times, because usually when we're getting the ice storms, there's no leaves on the trees and they're just the little spindly right. branches. It never really occurred to me to think about ice on the actual lines themselves. I always thought of them as indestructible to a certain point.
And we do design So there are construction standards that utilities observe. We observe a heavy construction standard. In rough terms, that means we should be able, our system should be able to survive a 40-mile-an-hour wind with a half inch of ice on the line. That sort of stability is built into our construction standards.
Now, does that change based on the area? I mean, we're talking about, you know, you're from the western region, but there are other parts of Virginia where you probably have service and have members that get a lot worse weather than what we would necessarily get here. Do you change those standards based on the geography?
If you look at the published kind of construction zones, we're actually on the border.
Ah.
So part of our system is in the lighter construction zone, but we still observe the heavy construction.
Better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly. Wind, you know, people mostly think of wind. Our system survives wind very well. It's wind with the trees, especially those summer storms when the trees are full of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
The downed trees, our system doesn't survive tree impacts very well. Rain. I know a lot of our areas had record-setting rainfall in 2018, and that pattern continues this year so far. And you wouldn't think rain necessarily would cause outages, but what happens is the rain saturates the soil that the trees' roots are holding on to, and so then the trees' survivability actually goes down. So those wind storms that maybe normally wouldn't cause problems now will cause problems because of the weakened root structure. It's not the root structure that's weakened, it's the soil that's mm-hmm. that's holding the trees up.
And we're seeing that a lot more with the storms that we've had in recent months, that you're seeing complete trees uprooted mm-hmm. with not that high of a wind, but there's nothing holding them into the ground anymore because everything has been so wet and saturated.
Yes, exactly. Rain can cause some equipment issues, particularly our lightning arrestors, which I'll talk about shortly, but not very often. Usually it's the soaked soil with some wind that comes in through a storm or something like that that causes the downed trees, that causes the power outage. Lightning. Probably lightning has more direct impact to our system, where it isn't knocking trees over, it's actually striking our equipment. And we have special devices called lightning arrestors that are put systematically out on the wire to try to sink that lightning energy to ground so it doesn't impact our system.
So it's kind of like a deflector or an absorber that takes the power that's coming from that lightning and then deflects it somewhere else so it doesn't cause a short or an outage.
It kind of diverts it away from our equipment and into the ground, which is the
it's
best
like a
place for it.
Safety shield. You're like superheroes.
Exactly right. And I mean, we've got those on all of our transformers. We've got them on our substations, and we've got them periodically out on the line as well. There are certain characteristics of a lightning strike that you can kind of plan for.
Oh.
Like where it's going to flash over, where it's going to cause the most damage. And you typically try to put your arrestors in those types of locations. Cold and heat. You know, you always hear about, you know, the bitter cold mornings or the brutally hot afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cause as many reliability problems as you would think. Our engineering department does a fantastic job in planning for worst case scenario, worst cold, worst heat, and implementing system upgrades to survive those. So you may get a few small isolated cases here or there, but typically the cold and the heat don't have a significant impact on a reliability.
When you started off giving me the kind of the rundown of some of the weather impacts, I got the impression you were doing them in a list of bad to not so bad. Do you guys think of it in those terms when you're thinking about weather? Okay, this is the worst case scenario, this not so much, this not so much. Is that how you guys kind of prioritize them in your head when you're looking at how you're going to address any of those issues?
Well, like I said a little earlier, all the utility folks kind of think of themselves as amateur weather forecasters. We're also a little bit of gamblers. I don't want to say gamblers, but we try to rationalize. Well, okay, we see an ice storm coming, But, you know, we just had a pretty bad windstorm, so maybe all the bad trees are down.
I like that logic. That's pretty good logic.
So you could say that we always try to be optimistic that, you know, maybe that bad storm that's on the horizon won't hit us that bad.
So you're always looking for the silver lining in a cloud, thinking, okay, we just got through this horrific storm, so hopefully it took down all of the problems that this incoming storm isn't going to have an impact as much.
Yeah, but we know that. One of the things we do is we look, especially when you see weather patterns coming, it's not as easy to do with those pop-up summer thunderstorms because you never kind of know where they're going to be. But the big winter fronts that are coming in, and you can see them coming a day in advance, we kind of look at the utilities that are being impacted by that storm, you know, a day out or more to see, hey, how much damage are they seeing? And there are actually web pages where you can go out and you can look at what other utilities are experiencing. And it's open to the public. Anybody can go look at it.
This doesn't impress me as kind of a set it and forget it kind of thing. You guys are your engineers. I mean, you're prognosticators, you're weathermen. You're really trying to take all of the information that you can possibly find and use and put it in place so that you know what to do in any case scenario.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it comes from experience. I mean, most events we've been through something like that before. So we kind of know what to expect when we see the winds, the ice, the wet snows. And it's not just us in operations. We've got our folks in the dispatch center that, you know, are there 24/7. They're always looking at this, calling crews out in advance if they know something's coming, talking to neighboring utilities. Hey, it looks like we're going to have a bad event here. We may be calling for outside aid.
We may, can you be on standby in case of?
Right. All the way up, you know, to Kent, to our CEO and strategic team, our vice presidents. You know, everybody has a part and steps in as needed when we see those events coming. I know William, when he was here, mentioned the major storm mode. And that's basically, it's like a fire alarm that, hey, a major event is coming. Everybody needs to pitch in wherever possible, from us out in operations, getting prepared, making sure our trucks are ready to roll, to the folks in member services, you know, staffing up to answer the phones, to take the outage calls, to the engineers getting ready to try to transfer circuits if they're out, you know, where possible. Our dispatch and our executives talking to the other utilities, looking for aid. It's a concerted mutual effort from everyone. No one's left out of the process when it comes to restoration.
So have we had storms that have really had an impact, whether it was long-term, whether it was just, you know, a hot mess in a quick second? I mean, what kinds of storms kind of stand out in your mind that you've had to deal with?
Well, in 2018, again, it was one of the worst storm seasons ever from the hurricanes. And though the hurricanes...
Because the hurricanes don't really impact us like they do the people that are in the direct
shore.
Line. Yeah, we're not seeing the heavy winds and that sort of thing, but we're getting all of the extra stuff once it starts moving up the coast.
Yeah, we had Michael and Florence had impact, especially in the heavy torrential rains. Now, we did have a few tornadoes spin off down in our southeastern region. And I don't want to minimize that. I mean, that was...
Still devastating.
Damaging.
Yeah.
Not like a 100-mile swath of hurricane damage. But the rain that we got from those continued to impede us. Like we talked about earlier, the rain, the saturated soil, and the winds that you do get, that we did get, while not hurricane force winds, were enough to cause some outages. But it was the rain and the impact on the soil in later storms that caused probably the most damage from those hurricanes. And then we had our winter storms, Riley and Avery. Avery was the October storm that was particularly damaging in our western region. And that was because it was an early season storm. A lot of leaves were still on trees. And that makes a holding location for the ice and the heavy snow. So whereas normally in the late season, in the winter, you just have the branches, the ice and snow can glom on to the leaves, cause additional weight and additional trees to fall.
Well, and two, when it's just the branches, you have a better visual. I mean, you can look at a tree and see how much ice is on a tree. But if you've got a tree that's got a bunch of leaves on it, it's hard to kind of gauge how much ice is on the leaves that are on the trees that are on the branches.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We had some other winter unnamed storms with ice involved. Matter of fact, the wire that I was telling you about came from, I believe, a November ice storm. Riley, which was the March winter storm, did a good bit of damage. But there was a wind storm around that same time within a few weeks that was very devastating to our western region. We had sustained winds for about 2 days of 45 to 60 mile an hour sustained winds with gusts into the 70s or 80s. For a normal storm, even these bad ice storms, we may see 20 to 30 broken poles. For a little summer pocket thunderstorm, you may get 5 or 6, you know, broken poles from the event. And for a broken pole, you typically have twice that many spans of wire down. A span of wire goes from pole to pole.
One pole to the next, yeah.
Right. In the windstorm in March, we had 400 plus broken poles.
Wow.
And over 1,000 spans of line down. And with our crews and some mutual aid from surrounding utilities, we're able to get everyone restored within just over a week.
See, that seems amazing to me because that's a lot of poles. It's probably a pretty large area that you're talking about as well, and a lot of work going around the clock, no doubt.
Well, and a lot of the damage was on the ridge coming out of the mountains, so access was not very easy either. So a lot of this, you know, had to be carried in.
That was one of the things that William mentioned, too, that it's not always even about getting to the outage and being able to fix it. It's about actually getting to the outage because roads sometimes are not passable. They're not safe. You've got all of these other issues. They may have trees down across the road they need to get to the outage itself.
Yeah, when you look outside and the weather forecasters and local emergency staff is telling you stay indoors, our linemen are typically out in harm's way, if you will, restoring power.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, you mentioned, you know, that storm was at least 2 days long of those heavy, high winds. Can you go out? I mean, do you have to wait until that dies down before you mention that, you know, your guys are out anyway, but in that kind of a wind, do you have to wait for it to stop before you can even start restoring power?
We look at each case individually. In those instances, you know, the linemen will make an assessment on whether they can safely approach. One of the ice storms in the latter part of 2018 was up on the ridges around Linden. And our line crews called in because it was getting dark, and they said, we're here in the dark, and we can hear trees falling all around us. So we made – it was a painful decision, but we made the decision – to pull off the mountain until daylight so they could get, you know, some semblance of safety.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to put your people in harm's way either. And I wouldn't as a homeowner. If I lived in Linden, I wouldn't want to think that somebody is out there putting their safety and their life on the line just so I can, you know, use the microwave.
When all of our linemen come home safe and sound, it's been a good day. So that was... Again, it was a hard and painful decision to kind of pull back for those few hours, but I think it was the right decision, as hard as it was to make.
Now, do you find that there is, because each storm and each season, I guess, is unique in its own way, is winter a worse season than summer? Are any of the seasons worse in terms of reliability and damage?
Typically, spring and fall are the mildest.
That makes sense.
I mean, that's an easy one because they have the least amount of violent weather. The ice storms, the heavy wet snow storms will typically be the most damaging until you get something like the derecho that we had. And I hope I pronounced that correctly.
That's how I always say it. So if you're saying it wrong, I'm saying it wrong too.
But something like that, I mean, the pop-up summer thunderstorms, you know, from the heat of the day, those are typically hard impacts, but small areas. The derecho was a hard impact over our entire area.
A large area.
But probably pound for pound, those ice storms, because they're typically so widespread, mm-hmm. are what hits our system the hardest.
And I would guess that's kind of a blessing, too, in disguise, because you don't typically get one ice storm after another over the course of weeks and weeks and weeks. As you do in the mm-hmm. summer, you could have a thunderstorm every day for a week to 2 weeks, depending on how systems are moving through. So I guess that's kind of an upside.
We hope not, but if Murphy has his way, probably so.
Well, I tell you what, I think we've covered everything that we wanted to talk about as far as weather impact on reliability. Have I missed anything? Is there something you wanted to make sure that we talked about that we're not going to cover in a future podcast?
No, I think we covered everything. I would like to mention that we have our Get Connected event Thursday, June 6th, between 4 and 7. And we invite our membership to come out, meet with us, ask questions, and enjoy the afternoon.
I think it's going to be a fun day at the Frederick County Fairgrounds, because electric cars, I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things for people to be able to come out and check out and be able to talk to people like you to get advice and answer questions and things like that.
I have been informed that I will be the greeter out front. Look for the tall fellow in the blue shirt.
Yep, and then I'll be sure and say, hey, I heard your podcast.
I'll be more than happy to talk to anyone that comes by.
John, thanks for coming to hang out and talk with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, we are going to wrap up today's episode. We have been chatting with John Arp. He is the operations manager for the Western Region of Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. We have been talking about weather's impact on reliability. And John's going to come back for future episodes. So make sure you are subscribed in the Apple Podcast app, on Google Podcast, or listen to it on Spotify. Until next time, thanks for listening.